Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios, and you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. 0 for 3 yet again today, but that's all right. Caroline Fenton and Joe Dubin in for the trio in the middays. Joe Dubin, how we doing?
I'm good, Caroline. Good to see you. Although technology is a wonderful thing, but we wish you were here, but we understand. So we'll have a good show today. A lot of fun, a lot of talk about from the game last night that nobody cares about, yet everybody's talking about.
Everybody's talking about it because there's nothing else to talk about, and it's football.
Right.
Nick Keyser behind the glass. Nick, how we doing?
Good, guys. I'm glad the week is winding down.
Yep, it's a Friday. Happy Friday to us all. So let's get it started because, as Joe mentioned, there was a football game last night. There was a Titans football game last night. And honestly, like, I've had to look back at the final score several times because I don't even really care about the final score. It wasn't about a win or a loss, but congratulations to the Ravens for continuing their longest preseason win streak in the NFL. So snaps for the Ravens on that one. But I think about last night's game, how I think about a lot of things that we have to approach in life. You know, you look at, let's say, relationships. Sometimes you have to take the good with the bad. And sometimes you let the good overshadow the bad. You feel so spoiled and you only look at the good things that you don't want to focus on the bad things. I think we're all guilty of doing that every once in a while. You could say, hey, he brought me flowers. Well, yeah, he brought you flowers because he stood you up on your date last night. That's kind of how I think a lot of Titans fans are looking at Malik Willis's performance last night. Because I think with Malik Willis's play last night, you have to take the good and you have to take the bad because there was both last night. We saw flashes of some good things that Malik Willis can do. I mean, we saw that 48-yard pass to Racy McMath. Of course, it wasn't a perfect pass. It wasn't the most accurate pass in the world. Racy McMath probably could have taken off with it a little bit longer, but it was a 48-yard pass nonetheless, and it was a great catch from Racy McMath. And I want to talk about Racy McMath later on in the show because he just continues to prove that he's a deep threat. He had that nice little sidearm pass to Tommy Hudson. He had that sneaky little Houdini move where he started running off to the right and then flipped around, did a little dipsy-doodle, jetted off to the left, and ran it in for a touchdown. He showed off why a lot of draft gurus were calling him first-round talent, were thinking that he was the most talented or the best quarterback in this draft. He showed some of that last night. But there was a lot that Malik Willis showed last night that just proved to me he's just not ready to start in the National Football League. I mean, of course, you're going to have a little bit of, first-game
wait, who said he's going to start? If we decided, did somebody say he's going to start? I haven't seen that anywhere.
No, exactly. Nobody said that. But I'm saying I think he just proved that last night. Right. He's just not quite ready.
Right. Yeah, he's got a long way to go with this. Yeah, but I see where I get where you're going.
Yeah, absolutely. He's got a long way to go. I mean, I look at, that first pass, of course, beginning of the game jitters, overthrow to Torrey Carter. I look at that pass that should have been an interception, that pass to Kyle Phillips, which, you could say, well, Kyle Phillips tripped. I don't necessarily know if that was on Kyle Phillips or if that was on Malik Willis, but I did see Des Fitzpatrick downfield wide open without a defender in sight. So, some decision-making there that just showed me that with Malik Willis, that was at least my biggest takeaway with Malik Willis last night, was there was some good and there's a lot that needs to be worked on.
I totally agree with you on that. Now let's look what he's got last night, what he did. I mean, the starting out of the game, we talked yesterday. We're so glad that Malik Willis started the game because now you don't have time to get butterflies. It's all right, Ricky, you're in. Let's go see what you can do. And it was rough. That first series was rough. I thought he should have probably run the ball instead of throwing it because he led that fullback on too much. And by the way, anytime you throw to a fullback, it's not a good thing. And so I wish he would have ran the ball there, but he's learning,
especially
right?
Especially the first play of the game.
Right. Yeah. So he's learning. And then he comes back. But I got to tell you, Caroline, when he went down there and they rolled right and he made the decision to go left, and once he'd made that decision to go left and got the defense off their heels, That was great. Then he gets to the 3-yard line, and we know a lot of teams don't like to tackle. So I'm not sure why the Ravens didn't go over there and just blow him up. And they tried to settle down with him, and he just ran right through him and got to the end zone. I'm like, that's what you want to see. And that was simply fantastic by him. And then, of course, the great pass to Racy McMath, the 48-yard pass on that. Really good. I mean, a lot of good things. But, you know, that's what we saw at Liberty, and we saw it last night. And I liked it. I mean, you look, that's your first start in an NFL game against another team, and I thought he did quite well. You know, it's funny, Caroline, after that first series, people are like, okay, you read Twitter, like, okay. And then he leads him down the field. Receivers didn't really help him that much, but he got him down the field. You know, Chestnut fumbling the football was not good. But, you know, he didn't seem rattled. And I love the fact, Caroline, that he went back in the second half, did not do what Vrabel told him to do, then Vrabel yanks him out of the game. I thought that was fantastic. So, all in all, I give the guy a B+, man.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know what anyone else could have expected from Malik Willis. Like you said, I mean, that run was great. That was a great play from Malik Willis. There's going to be a lot of things. I've already seen that play circulated on Twitter. It's on the front page of the NFL page on ESPN.com. I mean, that's getting a ton of traction. So that's all good things to think about with Malik Willis. That's all things that you can make you excited about Malik Willis. But then you can't look at just that and say, well, Malik Willis, you know, just absolutely balled out. Because it wasn't all good. But I think I look at, you know, another one of my bigger takeaways from this game was Logan Woodside. Of course, you mentioned it. Malik Willis pulled at the half. Logan Woodside comes in the second half. Joe? Logan Woodside did not look good.
No, he did. No, the two interceptions.
He
you're right.
Not look good. And, you look at one of those interceptions, and he says, you know, if I could take that back, that pass to Terry Godwin, I'd probably take it back. I heard TD on the morning show say, you know, that was really on Terry Godwin, that he kind of separated himself a little bit. Logan Woodside found him, targeted him, and then he kind of fell back in line with the defensive back. I don't know how much that was on Terry Godwin, and I don't know how much that was on Logan Woodside, but I have to say I think both of them were to blame. I mean, it was not a good showing for Logan Woodside last week.
No, it wasn't, and you look, the offensive line he's playing with in that second, I'm not making excuses for him because you still don't need to throw interceptions, but, I mean, he was under a lot of duress. I mean, I really liked the last play of the game where the Ravens did not sit back and went right at him, and then, you know, that's Woodside. That's pressure. He didn't like the pressure. He got rid of the ball way too quickly, and it bounced in front of the receiver, and no touchdown to the game there. But, yeah, there's a lot there. I mean, you got to wonder what his mindset was. I mean, was he told before the game, all right, you're going to be coming in the second half? Or was he told yesterday, all right, we're going to start Malik, you're going to do this? There's a lot that goes in that with his mindset. But, yeah, and he made no excuses after the game, Logan Woodside, with the two interceptions. He says, get back there and watch the film, and I got to do better, and that's what you want to hear out of that. But, again, I wonder what his thoughts were watching Malik run up and down the field making those great passes. Same thing we saw at Liberty did last year. But for Woodside, man, he get another chance, two more chances, you know, with the Bucs and the Cardinals coming here, so we see what he can do with that.
And then I think the third biggest takeaway from me was we talked so much yesterday about the rookies. We talked about Chig and Treylon Burks and Hassan Haskins and all of these things that we wanted to see from these rookies. And Hassan Haskins had himself a fine day. But where was Treylon Burks? Where was Kyle Phillips? Where was Chig Okonkwo? I look at that and I wanted to see more of that. I wanted to see more of the rookies. I wanted to see what they could do. And of course, we talked yesterday about how much were we going to be able to see a lot of these pass catchers? How much were they going to be able to flash with the quarterback situation? We didn't know exactly what quarterback was going to be under center, how they were going to look, at least in Malik Willis's NFL debut. But I honestly, Joe, I was disappointed that we weren't able to see more flashes from some of these first-year pass catchers.
I totally agree. And look, here's what I would have done. It's always great to play armchair quarterback, but first play of the game, I would have had Willis drop back and thrown a straight-line deep ball to Treylon Burks. Why not? I mean, you're not trying to win the game. You are, but we get it. It's preseason, right? You want guys to get work. So why not draw a couple plays up just specifically for that and say, all right, Burks, first play of the game, it's a streak, it's a post, take off down the field, we're just going to let it fly. And to see what his separation is, see what his speed is, and what he can do in a game situation like that. But, yeah, I was disappointed too. Same thing with Kyle Phillips. I mean, one target that goes on. So I don't know. Did they draw up specific plays? I mean, they talk about they don't game plan for these things. I don't know whether they're lying or not, which goes on with these. You know, I've been through so many preseason games and talked to so many coaches about all this, and they're all lying to you, and they say they don't plan for the game or whatever, put a game plan in. But last night, why couldn't there be one play for Burks, or maybe two plays? Just watch him go down the field and see what he could do. For that part, I just think that was kind of odd they didn't do that.
And that's what I wanted to see. And I think that I approach a preseason game like, okay, you know, who's really going to separate themselves from the pack and who is really going to show, you know, who is going to be an NFL starter? And I think we talked about this yesterday. You know, we know that Treylon Burks is going to be starting on this team. So why can't he show off a little bit more in a preseason game? And of course, you have these joint practices with the Bucks. Are we going to see more flashes from Treylon Burks when he's working with the ones, when he's working with Ryan Tannehill, when they're, you know, working a little bit more actual in-game scheme, when he's going up against, you know, Bucks defensive backs, like the kind of defensive backs that he's going to be seeing in the regular season? But to that point, you know, I want to see what they can do in a game. I wanted to see Treylon Burks look like a first-round pick against some of these other defensive backs for the Ravens that aren't first-round picks, that aren't second-round picks, that aren't necessarily starters. I wanted to see Kyle Phillips and Treylon Burks really shine against probably lesser competition. I wanted to show off what they can do.
I totally agree, and that's the point of the preseason game, especially the first Carolina, the first preseason game. Just go out there and just do some crazy stuff. And why punt in these games? Just go out there and see what you can do and get these guys in situations, one-on-one situations, where they can really prove to themselves where they can make a play on this team and stay on the team going forward. But, yeah, I just don't understand why you game plan, and they'll say, we didn't game plan for this. But, yeah, you kind of did with this and some of the plays. I just don't get it. But, yeah, we all, you know, we take away Malik Willis and how great he was yesterday. Didn't get to see a lot of Treylon Burks. That kind of was a disappointment for a lot of us. Woodside, what happened last night. And, you know, some mistakes last night, you know, with you feel bad for Julius Chestnut fumbles the ball, you know, trying to make the team. And you're like, oh, man, and then Twitter was a fire right after he fumbled last night. And you just see that and you feel bad for the guy because, you know, in practice he's busting his butt and he gets out there, he's thinking, all right, don't fumble, then you fumble, you're like, oh my goodness. But again, there's always two more chances. This week is really critical with these joint practices and the preseason game against the Buccaneers later this week for these guys who are on the line of getting cut or making the team.
And to your point about Julius Chestnut, I know he fumbled, but I look at the rest of what he did in the game last night. I thought Julius Chestnut looked pretty good. I thought Julius Chestnut looked like Malik Willis's favorite target and favorite go-to guy. I understand he fumbled the ball. You can't do that in a game. You can't turn the ball over because the Ravens ultimately turned out that into a touchdown. But I liked what I saw from Julius Chestnut.
Yeah, I do too. You know, and he's a great story, an undrafted free agent from Sacred Heart. I mean, that's a guy that you kind of gravitate towards and you're like, oh, let's let this guy make the team. So you're rooting for him. You're rooting for all these guys who got overlooked, didn't go to the combine, they get drafted, to go out there and hope they have a great game. But yeah, he rebounded quite well from his fumble last night. And hopefully, you know, they'll put the fumble behind you, so, you know, you can't do that. But we like the way you ran hard. You came back with determination after that was really good. So I thought he did really good after fumbling. And Caroline, I thought when you fumbled a preseason game like that, I'm thinking he's done. They're going to put him on the bench. Heck, they might put him on a Southwest flight at halftime and send him back to Nashville. But he came back and redeemed himself, and that was fun to watch.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have a thought on the game last night, we'll get to your phones. Plus, coming up next, we got to see Logan Woodside and Malik Willis pretty darn close to side-by-side. What are our thoughts on the backup quarterback situation going into the season? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Fenton, Joe Dubin, it's Chase, Willie, and D-Mace on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Yeah, I mean, it's different. It's a new experience, you know, for all these guys. You know, we got a lot of rookies on this team, and there's going to be a lot of guys that, you know, will continue to develop and get better and just want to make sure that they're competing each and every day and they understand how difficult this league is. And, you know, especially as a young quarterback, you know, to step back in there with a live rush and, you know, seeing coverage. And, you know, that's why we have these preseason games. That's why I wanted to put out there. That's why I wanted to take the ball and, you know, to put him in those situations. That's the only way that you can grow. And again, he kept some plays alive with his legs, and And we just have to be able to combine some of that with making great decisions when guys are open and being decisive and accurate with the football.
That was Mike Vrabel last night on letting the rookies get some playing time. And, hey, that's exactly what a preseason game is all about. I'm all for it. Caroline Fenton, Joe Dubin, it's Chase Willey, and D-Mace, 1025-1063. The game last night, we saw Malik Willis in the first half, Logan Woodside in the second half. And we already addressed with Malik Willis, hey, he's learning. We saw some flashes of some really good things from Malik Willis last night. He was able to flaunt what everyone was talking about with his mobility and his running ability. And I think that we kind of emphasized some of the concerns, at least that we've seen in camp. I've seen Malik Willis overthrow so many passes in training camp. It's almost like it's like a box that I have to check. I'm like, okay, cool. Yep, overthrow from Malik Willis. Got it. And that's what we saw in the game last night. So it's kind of what we expected. But Mike Vrabel took Malik Willis out at the half, and I want to get into exactly why Mike Vrabel did that and my thoughts on his feelings on that. We'll get into that coming up next. But he brought in Logan Woodside in the second half, and Logan Woodside did not play well, to say the slightest. Two picks in one half, didn't register a single point for the Titans in the second half. And honestly, Joe, after that game last night, I don't feel great about either of those quarterbacks being the Titans' backup. Knock on all the wood, if Ryan Tannehill gets injured, if Ryan Tannehill is out again, I don't feel good about Logan Woodside or Malik Willis being able to get the Titans a win. I understand that Vrabel probably feels comfortable enough with Logan Woodside to say, hey, check down, short passes, don't do anything risky, hand the ball off to Derrick Henry. I think Mike Vrabel probably trusts Logan Woodside enough to be able to do that. And really, at the end of the day, that's all that matters.
Right.
Todd Downing and Mike Vrabel feel like Logan Woodside at least won't throw the game away. Just manage the game. Just be able to get the ball into the hands of somebody who else who can make a play.
I totally agree.
Last night, I didn't feel like he was able to do that, though.
No, you know, and that's the thing. You get into the game, and I think with Woodside, there's this comfortability with the offensive coordinators that he's been through with Arthur Smith, that everybody's been through with, because Woodside's been there quite a while now. And, you know, he understands he can go in, and you're right, he can hand the ball off to Derrick Henry and make a couple short passes. I just still, you know, he's got the more experience. Here's what I like, Caroline. He's been on this team. He's run this practice squad team probably for the last couple of years. So he's in tune with the speed of the game. And I like that part of what he's doing. And I think that's why that puts me ahead. I think he should be ahead of Malik Willis right now. And everything that's going on, just for the simple fact he's been in the building longer and he's a little bit better than he is right now. With all that goes on. Now, will we see him start against the Buccaneers next week? Or will we see the same thing we saw against Baltimore where he comes back in? I think it's only fair. You maybe get to watch him start this week. And you make a good point, though. You know, with you're not comfortable with Malik Willis or Logan Woodside. You know, when you see backup quarterbacks sign the league for $3-5 million, you're like, oh, that's crazy. But now you understand why. Because when your main guy goes down, you need somebody who can come in there and really get the job done. I mean, you weren't here when it happened years ago, but Neil O'Donnell, my God. I don't want to think about how this football team would have been franchise starting out as Steve McNair got hurt so many times. He was such a warrior, but they had Neil O'Donnell could come in and really get that football team, not miss a beat, keep it going. They don't have that now, and that could be a problem. And I don't know if John Robinson is searching the waiver wire for another quarterback, but if they feel comfortable with Logan Woodside, again, they know far more about Logan Woodside than we do. But after last night's performance, if you're a quarterback, you would have come in and make plays and move the offense down last night, and it wasn't good. So we'll see what happens with the Buccaneers. I'd still go ahead and start. I don't know. You know, I'm torn this week on whether you start Woodside or Willis. I'd probably start Woodside because he's probably going to be your number two and see how well he could do leading the team on the field.
And, yeah, I mean, like I said, I didn't feel confident about anything I saw from Logan Woodside last night. I mean, I just hope and pray and keep my fingers crossed that Ryan Tannehill is able to stay upright all season. But like I said, if Vrabel trusts him to at least not throw the game away, that's the most important thing. And this was Mike Vrabel last night on Logan Woodside.
As far as the management of what came after, what you put Logan in, what did you kind of see from him throughout the course of this?
Well, we turned it over. I mean, there was some pressure and, you know, ball was underthrown, whether, you know, the receiver, you know, communication or just, you know, just the timing on it. you know, you have to just be able to go in there and process the group that you're in there. And, you know, normally it's finding a guy that you're comfortable with. And I think he was doing that there with Mason. You know, contested catch that ends up getting intercepted. You know, so there's going to be some things that he did well. And, you know, certainly the turnovers were disappointing.
And when you ask the question, I don't know who's going to start next week, what Vrabel said there about he's going to throw to guys that he feels comfortable with, that kind of makes me think that maybe Logan Woodside will be starting against the Buccaneers. And again, I do think that both quarterbacks are going to see the field against the Bucs. I don't know if it's going to be Logan Woodside starts the first half and then it's kind of a flip-flop Malik Willis comes in the second half. But it's about building that comfort with some of those receivers. And that's why, like Vrabel said, that's why Logan Woodside's targeting Mason Kinsey. Because he feels that comfort level with him, even in not the best situations. So I think it'll be interesting. But to Vrabel's point, if Logan Woodside isn't feeling a comfort level with this new group of receivers coming in, at least in the preseason game, you got to build that comfort. Because Logan Woodside did not look very comfortable last night, at least with the deep balls. And I don't think in an actual game, Vrabel's ever going to ask Logan Woodside to make any sort of long ball risky throws like that.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, they practice every day, working as receivers every day. So when I hear you're not comfortable with somebody, that always like, yeah, what's going on? I mean, what is happening here when you're doing your time in practice? And do you spend more time with them? And do you, you know, I remember going to practice after the practice, these guys would, you know, spend another 30, 45 minutes working with each other. I mean, I'm not sure if that's going on or what's going on, but you find a comfortability with a receiver. You want to stick with them. You know their tendencies. If they're going to break a second too soon to the right instead of 2 seconds too late, and then you read that, it just kind of worked through it all. And again, if we're talking Caroline in October about Logan Woodside and Malik Willis playing, oh man, it's some dark days.
It's a bad sign.
Right? For the Tennessee Titans.
I'm fine talking about it in August. Yeah. I don't want to talk about it in October.
Yeah, but that's a great thing about their joint practice coming up. I keep, you know, hitting this point each and every week. I know people get tired of hearing this, but for these players, these joint practice next week, now you get, look, I know that Ryan Tannehill knows what Kevin Byard's going to do, right? I mean, you just know. I mean, it's Kevin Byard. You practice every day. You practice against him. But then you got these Buccaneers guys coming here, and you don't know what they're going to do, and you don't know what their tendencies are. And then you rely on. Then you become really you and receiver got to be locked in even more so than last night. So I'm really looking forward to these two practices with the Bucs and with the Cardinals to see how it goes, because that's when we see what these guys are made of.
Let's go to your phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Crazy Billy is up next on the game last night.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I think my ideas are pretty close to y'all's, except Logan Woodside, he looked terrible. I mean, just unbelievably terrible. I would never have taken our third stringer out. He looked like he was actually starting to get a little momentum and getting a feel for it. He's been with us for a few years. There was no excuse for that kind of play. And hearing that, getting comfortable with receivers, you know, seriously? I mean, I played ball, and of course it wasn't pro, but you can get pretty close to your receivers, and I think that's kind of a weak excuse for a poor performance. I was very disappointed with our Titans. As far as for Chestnut, I think he did real well, and he came back and did great. Thanks for taking my call, and go Titans, and hopefully we'll get through this. In Jesus' name, amen. Bye.
All right, thank you, Billy. A lot to unpack there, but to his point about Logan Woodside, I understand fans looking at what they saw from Logan Woodside last night and being very, very disappointed. To his point about Julius Chestnut, I would say, okay, yes, he fumbled the ball, but I would say overall net positive for Julius Chestnut. Mike Vrabel mentioned in his post-game press conference, he was like, yep, you know, he fumbles sometimes in practice. That's going to happen. Unfortunately, yes, it is. And I'm not going to excuse that. Fumbling the football is not okay. Turning the football over is how you lose games. Right. But I would say overall net positive for Julius Chestnut.
I agree.
To his point, yeah. Yes. And to his point about Malik Willis, I really did see him start to gain a little bit of momentum the longer he was in the game, the more that he was making plays, the more he was able to kind of pile on top of that. You know, he had that touchdown run that hit Racy McMath for that long ball. I think he was starting to gain a little bit of momentum. But why exactly did Mike Vrabel take Malik Willis out of the game? I want to get into that coming up next, because Mike Vrabel was a little bit testy after the game last night about why he took Malik Willis out of the game. I want to get into that coming up next. Plus, your phone calls, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline Fenton, Big Joe Dubin, it's Chase, Willie, and D-Mace on 1025-1063, The Game. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. So we've been breaking down the Titans preseason game against the Ravens last night. Honestly, I don't even know the score off the top of my head. I don't even think that's the most important thing about this. Yeah. I was really just looking for the rookies, looking for Malik Willis. And Joey said yesterday, we wanted to see Malik Willis start. We wanted to see what he could do with the football. And it was fun to watch him start. And then at the half, there was a bit of a switch made by Mike Vrabel. So why exactly did he make that switch? This was Mike Vrabel last night about why he took Malik Willis out of the game.
Had Malik thrown the ball, could he have theoretically played the whole game?
No, probably not. No, I don't think, you know, I think the plan was to make sure they both played. Everybody played. I'm proud of that. And these guys have been working hard, each and every one of them. You know, so everybody played, and you know, I think that's, you know, we owe it to those guys that are out there and working hard.
Did you reward some guys, you know, like Chestnut, for example, for stuff that maybe he's done during camp?
Yeah, and I think that was a great decision by Tony to keep him in there after the fumble. I felt like Julius had really, you know, earned it, you know, earned the right to be the starter tonight. Those things will change. You know, he fumbled early in training camp and came back and competed. And, you know, I thought he ran hard. I thought he did some nice things. I thought Hassan did some nice things. And, you know, whether it was on the screen or, you know, catching the ball out of the backfield.
So Vrabel said there, you know, was that your plan all along to go in and play both quarterbacks? He was like, yeah, you know, we wanted to throw both of them in. We wanted to see what both of them could do. Joe, do you believe that?
Yeah, to a certain extent, because it's a preseason game. You want to see that. You want to throw both of them in there. I'm just glad, Caroline, they listened to us yesterday about starting Malik Willis. I did not think in the back of my mind Malik Willis would start. Then I see Jimmy Wyatt put the tweet out that Malik Willis is going to start. I'm like, yes, yes, we were correct yesterday in our assessment for this, and we loved it. But, Vrabel half the time, you know, we just tune out what he's going to say because, again, you could take that soundbite right there and use it from a preseason game in 2019. I mean, it's the same thing. We saw on the field last night, we don't need to see Vrabel or hear more of his assessment of what, you know, we saw last night. We know that he's not happy that they lost the game. We know he's happy that they could have done better and the mistakes and all that stuff like that. But to see it last night, you got to be, I know he won't admit it, Caroline, but you got to be excited. When Willis gets down there, he rolls right. There's nothing there. He switches fields. And like I said, once he got the defense unsettled on their heels, that was fun to watch. And then you watch him on the rollout and nail that 48-yard pass to McMath. That was good. I mean, that's what you try to do. Nothing goes according to plan, right? No play ever goes according to plan. It's what you do when things break down. And to watch Willis do that yesterday, I think John Robinson in that suite somewhere in that back room was smiling ear to ear watching that.
Yeah, I really do appreciate the Titans for listening to us yesterday.
Yeah, thank you.
Because I'm sure we did that. But yeah, you mentioned Mike Vrabel not being happy. And, yeah, I mean, unhappy about the loss, and I think we kind of heard that in his post-game press conference yesterday. I don't know how much I do believe Mike Vrabel. I mean, I'm sure they probably did want to put both of them in there at some point. But the reason why Mike Vrabel pulled Malik Willis, I think, is very interesting. And you said he's not happy because he very much so was not happy about this. This was Mike Vrabel last night on exactly why he pulled Malik Willis at the half.
Had Malik thrown the ball, could he have theoretically played the whole game?
No, probably not. No, I don't think, you know, I think the plan was to make sure they both played. Everybody played. I'm proud of that. And these guys have been working hard, each and every one of them. So everybody played, and I think that's, we owe it to those guys that are out there and working hard.
Okay, so there was a clip where Mike Vrabel says, I pulled him because I needed him to throw the ball.
Right.
Because I told him to throw the ball, and he wasn't throwing the ball. And he was pissed. He was so mad. And I think you can kind of hear it in his voice there. But if you go back and you actually watch Mike Vrabel's body language, he kind of turns his head to the side, crosses his arms. His face just looks so angry. Mike Vrabel was pissed at Malik Willis last night. Because he said, I took him out of the game because I wanted him to throw the ball and he wasn't throwing the ball. And
love it.
I don't know if that was the game plan all along and Malik Willis went away from it. I don't know if that was a comfort level for Malik Willis that he said, hey, I need to get my legs underneath me, and throwing the ball doesn't make me feel comfortable. But Mike Vrabel, I mean, his body language, the way he said it, and the fact that he pulled Malik Willis at the half, he was that angry with him that he wasn't throwing the ball around.
I love the fact that he yanked him out to, all too often, Caroline, we see the player dictate the narrative, right? And the coach will do try to ease the situation. But Vrabel, that's, and it's one thing I admire about him. He's going to control the narrative. So I tell you to go in and throw the ball. You don't throw the ball. All right. And you run. When I told you to throw the ball, then you're coming out. You did not do what I asked or required of you to do. Now, Willis might say, well, I didn't think he's open. I'm like, interception. That's fine. When the coach tells you to do something and you do not do that, you're going to pay the consequences. And that, he was getting yanked out of the game. I love that Mike Vrabel did this in so many ways because, again, he's the head coach. You'll do what I say. And if you come over with an excuse, Vrabel's like, well, I don't care. I told you to throw the ball. Even if it's an interception, I still told you to throw the football down the field, and he didn't do that. And so I do. That made me chuckle last night because in a second half that was really bad football. Well, not bad football, just kind of boring football. It was
boring football.
It was exciting to watch that.
It was also kind of bad football, too.
Right. It was great to watch him yank him out of the game like that and do that. Just kind of like, hey, by the way, I'm still the head coach. You're still a rookie. We're going to work on this. I enjoyed it.
Ben, I do wonder, what comes from that? Is that Malik Willis working more in throwing drills in practice? Because I also look at that as a certain trust level that Mike Vrabel has with Logan Woodside that he doesn't have yet with Malik Willis. And I'm not going to expect Malik Willis to have built this, this trust with Mike Vrabel after knowing him for a few months versus Logan Woodside, who's been in the system for years. But, we talk about, could Malik Willis, give Logan Woodside a run for his money for this backup quarterback position? I think that it ultimately comes down to trust because Mike Vrabel couldn't trust Malik Willis to do what he needed to do. Mike Vrabel wanted to see Malik Willis throw the ball. He wanted Malik Willis to get out of his comfort zone and not defer to running with his legs constantly. Malik Willis did throw the ball a fair amount, but I think we saw several times that he deferred to his feet. I'd call him his twinkle toes. He gets a little bit nervous. He rolls right out. Mike Vrabel knows that that's Malik Willis's comfort zone. He knows that that's his crutch. He wants to break that for him. So there's that level of trust that Mike Vrabel has with Logan Woodside to say, hey, I need you to do this. I need you to take care of the football, which Logan Woodside didn't do last night. But I think Mike Vrabel pulled Malik Willis because he's like, look, you're not doing what I ask you to do. I can't trust you to do what I need you to do. I can trust Logan Woodside to do what I need to do. So even though Logan Woodside didn't look great last night, even though Logan Woodside didn't take care of the football last night, even though Logan Woodside threw two interceptions, I think when it comes down to it in a game, Mike Vrabel can say, hey, Logan, pass the ball off to Derrick Henry on every down. He can't say, hey, Malik, I need you to throw the ball. He can't count on Malik Willis to do that.
Yeah, and again, we talk regular season. If something, God forbid, happens to Ryan Tannehill, and I said it yesterday, and I've said it before, I mean, the Titans defense has a really good opportunity to be one of the best in the league, I think, because of that front four is so dominating. If you get a situation where Tannehill's out and Logan Woodside's got to come in and you're become that game manager, which all quarterbacks hate being called. They all hate being called game manager. But that's, if you're Logan Woodside, that's what you're doing. I mean, you're just managing the game, not making mistakes, trying to get the ball down the field as efficiently as you can. I still think when the season starts, Woodside will be number two going forward because that's a lot, man, for – I mean, Woodside's been here since 2019. He's been through the ringers. Again, he's been the practice squad quarterback – or good scout team quarterback, I'm sorry. He's done all that. He's seen the speed. And in a regular season game, you put Malik Willis out there on a Monday night in Buffalo in that environment, oh, my goodness, that could be bad, bad, bad. I wouldn't feel as bad, though, for Logan Woodside. Even though he's never played in a regular season game in that kind of environment, I'd still feel better for Logan Woodside in than I would for Malik Willis.
I think also, too, one of my favorite things about last night, at least the post-game press conference, was Malik Willis's reaction to it. Because Vrabel was pissed. I think Malik Willis was a little bit pissed too. This was Malik Willis last night when he was asked about why he was pulled from the game.
Coach said he wanted you to throw the ball more.
Yeah.
I mean, what did he say to you on the sideline?
He said, we look at the film and see.
Yeah. So what were the issues? We just not wanted to turn it over, just wanted to run with it, or what?
As far as what part?
Why you weren't throwing it when he wanted you to throw it?
I mean, all you do is go out there and play the game. You don't have a play like, I have to pass the ball this play. I have to run the ball this play. I mean, just play the game, bro. I mean, I probably ran a little bit more than I threw it tonight. That's why we got to look at film. But I don't know. Let's see on film.
Oh, that was the most testy I've ever heard Malik Willis. Throughout his entire post-game press conference last night, you know, he was saying so grateful for the opportunity to play football. You know, was very gracious. He's a very kind of mild-mannered guy. And that question, you could tell, very obviously struck a nerve. So there's a little bit of a friction between Mike Vrabel and Malik Willis after that last night. So if that's the heat that Malik Willis needs to just go out there and take a few risks and throw the football, do what Mike Vrabel asks you to do, then do it.
Yeah, I think he needs to be careful. You know, I don't think there's any kind of animosity towards each other. I guess he was frustrated because
it's just natural player coach friction.
Yeah, there you go. He got called out, and you know, I'm sure that Hugh Freeze in the last 2-3 years at Liberty did not call him out for things like that. And it's just different. It's a different environment now for Malik Willis going forward. And everything that he does, everything. I mean, I don't think these guys realize how much scrutinizing they'll be getting under. I mean, we're going to sit here all day and talk about his performance and what he did. And it's just a new level. Once you could tune that out, once you could tune out and just concentrate on getting better and going to practice and film study, everything like that, you'll be fine. But yeah, that's kind of interesting. I would like to have seen a couple more questions just to see him get a little more, you know, irritated with the press last night. That'd have been fun.
And I don't want this to be miscommunicated that Malik Willis last night was the better quarterback. Malik Willis was the better player over Logan Woodside last night. Logan Woodside did not have a good game by any means last night. I'm just trying to interpret what Vrabel feels like is where his trust lies, who he thinks is going to be the backup quarterback. Because I think based off of last night, Malik was the better player. But based off of last night, I think Vrabel trusts Logan Woodside more.
Yeah, I agree. And you got to look at Vrabel. I mean, you know, when Vrabel was in the league, you know, with the Patriots, I mean, who was a quarterback, right? Tom Brady. So he sees the level. He saw the level. He lived the level of what a championship quarterback can do and how he should prepare and how he should go about. So any quarterback that comes in Mike Vrabel's mind, is going to be compared to Tom Brady. Any quarterback. I mean, you spent 2001 to 2008 with Tom Brady. You see his work ethic. You see what he does. You see the smack talk in practice and the preparation. And I go back again to 2019 when the Patriots came here with Tom Brady, and just seeing Vrabel gush over Brady before the team drill started and watching Brady dissect the Titans and then watching Mariota be awful. I mean, absolutely awful in those drills. You know that he compared, and that was the day, Caroline, I said that to me, that was a day in his mind that Mike Vrabel said, all right, I'll see what Mariota can do, but he's not my answer long term. And then he won a quarterback that could sit in there and deliver the football. And now he got that in Ryan Tannehill. And I think he likes that with Logan Woodside as well. But if Willis, you know, could come out these next two preseason games and do flashes of what he did last night, no mistakes, kind of keep things moving along, then he's got a decision to make who he's going to be the number two quarterback. And I would not want to make that decision before the first game.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have a thought on the Titans game last night about Malik Willis versus Logan Woodside, do you think that Malik Willis is kind of infringing on Logan Woodside's territory as the backup quarterback? Plus, one thing that we didn't see last night that I wanted to see last night. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Fenton, Joe Dubin, it's 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Yeah, he only had one target, and you would like to see him come down with that football. It was a contested catch. Woodside said he was just giving him a chance to make a play. I thought Willis should have targeted him a few more times. There were some opportunities, but it's easy for me to say that not having, you know, defensive linemen bearing down on me or a blitzing safety or something along those lines. So I get it. But Burks overall, he's been able to stack some good days. Exactly sure, you know, what some of the social media stuff was trying to get at, because he has worked with Ryan Tannehill. He's not some backup or anything like that. He's in the rotation, in the mix, and they're working an assortment of receivers with Tannehill. And I like the way Burks has bounced back. He told me he lost 6 pounds after minicamp, you know, going into training camp, and there haven't been any issues whatsoever as far as the conditioning is concerned. And he seems to be on top of the asthma. So he stacked some good days of practice. I don't see there being any issue, and I'm really totally against a lot of the stuff that they've said on social media. This is incorrect.
That was TD this morning on Robbie and Rex Road on Treylon Burks. And hey, yeah, I would have loved to have seen Malik Willis target Treylon Burks a little bit more. And yeah, me too. Me too, TD. Me too. But hey, the final countdown to the fall sports season is approaching. And before everyone hunkers down in their man cave, we're providing the ultimate date night opportunity. A pair of tickets to see Michael Bublé at Bridgestone Arena on Tuesday, August 16th. Plus, qualified to win a Davidoff cigar, blend bar cocktail, and gift card. Tune in today during the noon hour for your chance to win. Brought to you by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars. So, Joe, I think that TD makes a very good point, and that I would have loved to have seen more Treylon Burks. I would have loved to have seen more Chigakonkwo. I would have loved to have seen more Kyle Phillips. Between those three, combined, 4 targets. And that's not on them. That's not on Treylon Burks, because Treylon Burks got open. I saw Des Fitzpatrick get open plenty, and Malik Willis wasn't giving him the ball. I saw Chig, who did actually a much better job blocking last night than I kind of expected. I was looking to see how Chig's blocking was coming along in training camp. Saw him with a couple pretty good blocks last night. But overall, wasn't able to see those three, especially their pass-catching ability, as much as I would have liked. And I do wonder how much of Vrabel's frustration that Malik Willis wasn't throwing the ball was fueled by the fact that Mike Vrabel wanted to see the exact same thing that we wanted to see.
Oh, yes.
With Treylon Burks and Chigakonkwo and Kyle Phillips really shine.
Again, I think, why not draw up a play, specific play, to target those guys if it's not there, and throw the ball regardless to see what they could do. And I know it's different for a quarterback. For Willis, like, all right, this play, you're going to sit there and you're going to throw straight to Racy McMath no matter what. Well, if he's running a terrible route and you underthrow it or overthrow it and gets intercepted, well, that comes back on you, even though it was like, hey, you told me to make this play. Well, you know, then you get called in like, well, it wasn't there, so you shouldn't have done it. Well, you told me that's the play I should have run, and that's the pass I should have thrown, and now you're mad at him. So there's whole things going this, you know, and you got to make that decision, Caroline. And TD had a good point. You make these decisions. We can also make these decisions. It's great, but we also don't have three 300-pound linemen coming at us to rip our heads off. So you got to make those decisions quickly. But, you know, again, why not the first play of the game go a deep post to Treylon Burks? Why not? Just do that. Put those specific plays in there to see what these guys can do. I was kind of disappointed last night in that. And again, I've never caught a play in a professional game, but I would have liked to have seen that last night off the go.
And one texter checks in to the text lines, full night driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and says, well, it's not Treylon Burks' fault. He can't throw the ball to himself. He didn't get much of a chance last night.
Right.
I understand that. I know that. I understand that Treylon Burks can't just make plays happen whenever he's not getting targeted, because he had one single target and 0 receptions last night. I understand that's not on Treylon Burks. It's not on the fault of the wide receivers. Unless they can't get open, then that's on them. Treylon Burks was getting open last night, but I really wanted to see kind of like a barometer for Burks, Phillips, Okonkwo, but especially Treylon Burks. what can he do against second and third string defensive backs? Because I thought that he was going to be able to just roll over these DBs and that we were going to start to see a really fun connection between either Malik Willis or Logan Woodside and Treylon Burks. I wanted to see Treylon Burks start to build that confidence on an NFL football field in his first professional game and be able to really flaunt the fact that he was a first-round pick. The fact that he was beating SEC caliber DBs in college, and he's going up against second and third round or second or third string Baltimore Ravens or rookie Baltimore Ravens. I wanted to see that so badly. But again, I think that feels a lot of Mike Vrabel's frustration.
Well, and that's again, I mean, it's the preseason. I mean, why not experiment different things? I've never understood the mindset of these guys and these coaches to just do the same old out there and watch these guys, just what they've seen at practice is, again, set these plays up to watch these guys, see what they can do, if they have the separation or if they can beat the defensive end one-on-one, just something on there to let us see and let us go. But there were a lot of things, you know, that we wanted to see last night. We didn't get to see last night with Kyle Phillips and Treylon Burks. But, you know, a good thing, like, you know, Racy McMath. I mean, he comes off a team, and you know this very well, Caroline, quite possibly the greatest college football team of all time, Racy McMath at LSU. And to see him last night with that nice catch and, you know, been raving about him at practice, that's a guy, receiver, that it's a crowded receiver room. So there's a lot of fun things you take away from last night. And for me, it was why I only had one catch. I get that. But it was a great catch last night, Caroline. Great catch.
It was a great catch. And it continues to build upon the confidence I've at least seen in Racy McMath. I mean, he has been making great plays in practice. I mean, he's been catching deep ball after deep ball, making play after play, getting open. And Racy McMath, honestly, you know, was somebody who I covered closely in college, and he didn't really do much at LSU. You know, he was in a wide receiver room with Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson. So he had a tough time kind of making a name for himself, at least at LSU. So when he came to the Tennessee Titans, I wondered, you know, is he going to be one of those guys who's, you know, like a practice squad guy, and he might get out there in some preseason games, and, you know, really what can he do? But I think this past training camp has shown that, I mean, Racy McMath is one hell of a player.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you catch – I go back. Here's a story. This applies to athletes, okay? Years ago, this is way before your time, Indiana had a basketball player named Uwe Blob, right? Bobby Knight was the coach, and the guy – Uwe Blob was 7 feet tall, couldn't play basketball. And a reporter asked Bobby Knight and says, why in the world would you get this guy who can't play basketball part of your team? And Bobby Knight says, I can't teach him to be 7 feet tall, but I can teach him to play basketball. You can't, with Racy McMath, he's so fast. And if you can learn and if you can learn to make that speed as a receiver and make your cuts and your bursts and all that like that, you can teach him how to be a receiver, right? You're not going to teach him 4.3 or 4.28 speed. There's a lot. That's why this guy's still on the team, because they know there's something there with that. And we saw a little bit of it last night. And I was really excited for him. Really excited for him, because he's fought hard to get where he is and overshadowed, like you talked about, with Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase. And to see him last night do that was really cool.
615-737-1025 is our phone number if you have a thought on that. But coming up next, what do we think is the most likely next step for this Titans quarterback room, at least as the backup role is concerned? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Fenton, Joe Dubin, Chase, Willie, and Dumais. It's 1025-1063 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.